Matthew Richardson is with us for Polaris. They are Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand for the fourth year running. End of financial year sale is on now. Greg Swan has been good enough, as always, to join us right throughout this COVID-19 period. And a time when some clubs, including his own, was put under the microscope by Peter Gordon during the week. Welcome to you, Swanee.
Hello, Jared. How are you?
How did you receive all that news?
It's, I think there's a bit of lack of knowledge about what does happen. I mean, I've been in big clubs and small clubs, or, you know, what are we called? Recipient clubs, I think we were called. And, you know, there's been calls for, you know, greater scrutiny, all that. But, you know, we're scrutinised within an inch of our lives when you're a recipient club. You know, you can't, you're setting budgets and things like that every day and send them off the AFL. You can't make major appointments of staff or anything without tick-off. So I think this conception that, you know, everyone gets a bucket of money and we all waste it is nonsense. And, you know, so anyway, we'll have to educate some people that it's not, you know, there is plenty of accountability. I don't think that's an issue. I mean, there's probably fundamental issues with your business and, you know, trying to raise revenues and things, but the accountability side's really well taken care of.
Peter Gordon, along with Jeff Kennett, two guys on the war committee, have both raised the issue essentially about the longevity of 18 clubs. Where do you see it sitting as we speak? Not just this year, because maybe Gill and the chairman of the AFL would like not to lose clubs under their watch, but do you see it as an issue for the medium term?
Look, no, I don't. I mean, I think obviously everything will have to scale back because, you know, we've been driven by TV rights, obviously. You know, that's been huge numbers, which has then driven everyone, you know, from a club perspective, all their dividends and everything else on the back of broadcasting. And you assume that that'll come off like everything else will. And so everyone, you know, will tighten our belts and come back. But I think, you know, I think that can happen. I mean, it's an interesting debate. I mean, it's, you know, we've always had big clubs, medium clubs and small clubs, you know, and that's sort of the nature of the competition. And we've never had, you know, we're very much a socialist competition and, you know, it's a bit, and we are modelled a lot on the NFL and they've got the same things over there. You know, you've got a team in Green Bay, it has 100,000 people, and then you've got teams in New York and LA. And so I think it survives. Does it survive in its current format? Who knows? I mean, you know, you'd get killed, but I mean, having lived in Melbourne, I mean, there's 10 teams in one city. So if, you know, if they're talking about the pressures of that, you know, maybe that's a thing that might change over the journey. But I think, you know, two teams in other, you know, in major capital city or major, yeah, other major capital cities, I don't think there's, you know, room for that to change. But I think in the medium term, things can survive without much problem.
Well, Swanee, you've been great for us through isolation here on Sports Day. So you must be wrapped now to be looking forward to the footy. You've got four games at the Gabba, obviously all of the teams in the hub. The boys must be looking forward to getting into that. And four games in a row at the Gabba, it gives you a good chance to set things up.
Yeah, look, it does. It's a good thing for us. We, you know, we'll play some games away, obviously, in the back end. But, you know, everyone that you talk to, you know what it's like when you have a good season. You normally start off well. You know, you build confidence and, you know, the boys start getting up and about. So with four home games, that's hopefully what we can do. Yeah, we're playing good teams, but... You know, to play finals, we only lost one game at home last year. So, you know, we need to replicate that. And if we can get off to a flyer and win these games, you know, after losing our first one, then, you know, that sets us up for the remainder of the year. So hopefully we do get off to a good start. Our blokes have come back in good nick. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I assume every club's the same. Everyone's up and about. Like, it's great that we can talk about footy instead of everything else that we've sort of filled in the last few months. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. We can't wait. We hope, it's going to be interesting again. You know, no crowds and lack of atmosphere and what the TV networks do with, you know, do they put pretend noise in and stuff like that? But, yeah, that's going to be interesting. But, anyway, it's great to have the games back on. I mean, up here with the Broncos start tonight against the Eels, so that's going to be big for NRL, and we'll follow in a couple of weeks' time.
Swanee, there's a little bit of talk, and you look in the press today about maybe crowds in the back end of the year. Is it going to be a case, though, where you're going to need to have a certain amount of people in there to make it worthwhile having crowds with the cost factor of staffing the venues and the like?
Yeah, look, we've spoken to the Gabba about that, and it's a good point because you may be able to get people in, you know, every third seat and things and fill the start, you know, put them all around the stadium, but then you're going to have extra security to make sure that they don't, you know, encroach on the three seats and a lot of those things. But look, I think there's certainly a want from the stadiums and obviously the clubs to get people back. So we're all looking at that and all looking at modelling and how that's going to work. And, you know, they've come up with some concepts, even in the early stages, that might work for us financially and getting people back in. So, yeah, as you say, back end of the year, you know, hopefully sort of end of July, August, certainly, you'd be over the moon if you could get people back into the stadiums.
One of the hot topics down here, Greg, and I'm sure you've followed it, is whether or not a journalist should ask somebody who is involved in an issue which may well dabble in the mental health sides of life. Would you expect the journalist to ask a question, or do you expect the journalist not to ask a question?
I've always been of the view that if somebody or, you know, a club tells someone, look, don't go there because there's a mental health issue, then they shouldn't go there.
Okay.
But, you know, each journo has a different view of that, but, you know, we probably know our players better than anyone, and so if we sort of deem that it is there's a genuine mental health issue and you don't want it played out in, you know, in public and whatever, and, you know, you ask not to go there, I think that's probably a fair request.
The other issue that some people are chatting about is that the chair of epidemiology at Deakin University has commented on crowds, saying that she thinks that some of the recommendations for crowds, if they came back to the AFL, would be that you're not allowed to boo and you're not allowed to yell, because that would actually enhance or increase the likelihood of transference. Do you think this is actually possible for a crowd to actually sustain their calm look at life if Collingwood are 3 points up going into the final quarter against the Tigers?
Are you sure it's not 1st of April? That's got to be an April Fool's story, surely. It is funny, you know, just as an aside, have you ever known so many experts in the area that no one had ever heard of before this last 2 months?
No, but I'll tell you what, there's a few trying to jump on the celebrity speaking circuit through it.
Yeah, well, there's seriously, there's an expert on everything, but this expert, I think, has got it wrong. There's not a chance you can go to the footy and not boo and yell. Otherwise, why would you go?
Well, in fact,
part of the game.
I'm not sure Catherine Bennett is a huge AFL fan, because she actually uses the term hooting may have to be used. I haven't seen much hooting at AFL games in recent times.
No, they're like closest to that are those bars in America, I think, but they're not quite hooting, but they're similar.
Yeah, similar stuff. As always, Greg, great to have a chat.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Greg Swan there for Australian Made. Boost your sales with the Australian Made logo. More sports after this.